Well, as you can tell from what the kids have done and what you've hopefully been hearing at your house and seen and heard from the kids and our workers this morning, this has been truly a wonderful week. And on behalf of the staff in Ashworth Road, we really are appreciative that you entrust us with your kids for this week to be able to talk to them and teach them about Jesus Christ. It's been an amazing week, many great moments. And, you know, all week we focused on one theme. And it was catching the wave of God's amazing love. I normally don't wear shirts like this to preach in, but I didn't want you to miss me, so here I am this morning. We normally don't have the stage like this, but you can see it's all this surfing theme. And as a guy from Arkansas, I really don't know anything about surfing or much about waves at all. But this whole week was about waves and surfing and catching the waves of God's love. As I was thinking about this morning, I thought, you know, waves are very interesting things. Because in our context this week, we talked about surfing those waves, and we pretended like we surfed most of the weeks. And when you think about waves in that aspect, they can be a lot of fun. You're riding the waves. We talk about it in a very positive context. It's a good thing when you're riding the wave. And even in church, we talk about we're not trying to do things. We just want to catch the wave of what God is doing. And it's a very positive thing. But you and I both know that many times in our lives, there are moments where the waves are anything but positive. There's moments where it's very negative, where you're going through life and the storms hit and the waves begin to crash in your life, and we just struggle with knowing, am I going to survive? What do I do? How do I weather this storm? It's not unlike the disciples who also experienced a storm. In fact, this is one of the stories our kids heard this week and acted out. You know, Jesus, in Matthew chapter 8, we hear this story where Jesus had had a long day. In fact, if you know the book of Matthew, that Gospel of Matthew, the first book in the New Testament, you know that chapters 5, 6, and 7 are very famous. They're called the Sermon on the Mount. So here we see Jesus sitting on the mountainside teaching in this most powerful message that he's given to the people, where he said things like, blessed are the peacemakers, blessed are those who mourn, pray for those who persecute you, seek first the kingdom of God. I can imagine after preaching on Sunday here, I'm pretty tired, but after doing all that Jesus said in that moment, I'm imagining he was pretty exhausted. So he goes down to a boat that's on the Sea of Galilee, and his disciples follow him. And he's already thinking about the next day, and so he knows he's going across the sea, across the lake, to do exactly what he did today, tomorrow. He's going to teach some more people about why he's here. He's going to heal some more people of the diseases and the infirmities that they have. He's going to spend an entire day serving and focusing on other people. So Jesus makes his way into the ship or the boat, and he goes down into the hull. And there he probably found a sandbag. Nothing comfortable, I can assure you. And he laid his head down and he falls to sleep. The disciples begin rowing. What's interesting is this boat required five people in order to maneuver it. You needed four guys to row it and one guy to steer the rudder. So at least these five guys are up there, and as they begin to cross the Sea of Galilee, all of a sudden, without any warning, a storm erupts. Huge violent winds come and the waves begin to crash. If you look at the geography, the position of the Sea of Galilee makes it perfect for this type of storm. Surrounded by mountains, it was very common for these winds to come rushing in and in a moment's notice just begin to battering these ships and these boats. Well, this was no new thing for the disciples. This was something they had experienced before. They'd rowed across the lake at night. They'd encountered storms, but something about this storm at this moment was different. The waves for tonight and this evening were at least 7 feet tall, and they began to crash over the boat. Their training as fishermen kicked in. And they began to work tirelessly and do everything they knew in their training to help save the boat so there would be no loss of property or loss of life. But it became very apparent very quickly that this storm was, their skills were no match for this storm. They'd exhausted all their options. They'd done everything they'd known to do. And as a last resort, they go down into the hall and they shake Jesus. Jesus, wake up. We're about to die. Save us. Imagine Jesus, like most of us, wiping the sleep from his eyes, kind of looking up. And he just says, why are you so afraid? Where is your faith? He goes up to the top side of the boat. I imagine it's rocking very violently back and forth, kind of having to steady himself because this is a fierce storm. And he speaks to the storm. And he says, peace, be still. And as quickly as that violent, raging storm occurred, it ended. Immediately, the winds ceased and were immediately calm. The waves were gone and the sea was now like glass. Jesus had spoken the word, and I imagine the disciples were there. They'd seen his amazing teaching. They'd heard him say these things that just blew their mind already. They'd seen him do miracles already as well. It wasn't like this was the first miracle he'd ever done, but this was the first miracle like this he'd ever done. You have to understand the Jewish mindset at that time. There was an understanding of the lake and darkness was evil. And here comes Jesus, by speaking a word, shows his authority over nature, shows his authority over what they perceive to be evil. I imagine the disciples must have sat there with their mouths open. Wow. Look at what Jesus has just done. At the end of this story in Matthew, we're told that the guys began to talk. And as they began to talk, they began to talk about Jesus. What else was there to say? And the disciples asked what I think to be one of the most critical questions that you and I can ever ask. And they asked this question, what kind of man is this? What kind of man is this? As I said, I don't normally know much about waves. I didn't grow up on the lake. We had plenty of lakes in Arkansas, but we didn't do a lot of that growing up. I can remember one time where Carrie and I decided to take a vacation, and we were on a cruise ship. And the very last night on the ocean in the Caribbean, as we were sailing back to port, the storm came up. And this 80,000-ton ship was like a small little boat in that ocean. Now, it wasn't like some of the videos you can find on YouTube where things are like furniture's crashing on the side. But as we were walking down the halls, it was one of these things where we had to steady ourselves as we walked to make sure we didn't crash into each other or the wall. When we think about waves, we often think about that. We think about the storms of life and how difficult things can be, how that medical diagnosis happens to us that we didn't want, how that job we loved is now taken away, how our kids, something happens with our kids, and we easily find ourselves overwhelmed by the storms and ways of life. But you know, as I was thinking about waves, I really began to think about it doesn't just happen in the bad times of life that waves have an impact on us, but even in the good times of life, there are positive things that we do. Or we experience with waves. We get that promotion at work. Things go well for our family. All the bills are paid, right? Doesn't that feel good? And we're like, whoo, riding that wave. We're going to ride it as long as we can. But what I've discovered as I thought about waves this week is I think there are two fundamental problems when it comes to waves. And it can either be the positive waves or the negative waves that we're riding. Two fundamental problems I think we have with waves, and the first one is this. They always draw our attention to the wave. Whenever we're riding high, or whether we're feeling the waves crashing over us, it always takes our focus off what we probably should be focusing on, and instead we begin to focus on the waves. We focus on the difficulty. We focus on the trouble. And it's amazing to me how in the boat with the disciples, as soon as the storm came, they began to focus on the waves. There's another story a little later in Matthew chapter 14 where, again, the disciples are in a boat, a storm has come, only this time Jesus is not with them, and he begins to walk on the water towards them. And it's an amazing story because they think it's a ghost, and they're like, "Are you a ghost?" And it's like, "No, it's me, Jesus." And they're like, "Well, if it's you, Jesus," Peter, always with his foot in his mouth, says, "Well, then call to me, Lord. Tell me to come walk to you." And he says, "All right, Peter, come on." And Peter steps out of the boat. And Peter's doing a great job. He's surfing out there with no board or anything until what? Until he takes his eyes off Jesus and he begins to look at the stormy waves all around him. The waves have that tendency in our lives to pull our focus off where we should be focusing on and to focus on the waves. And as I said, it's easy to see when it's bad, but what about when it's good? It's easy then too. We begin to look at, oh, well, look at all the things I'm doing right. Look at the numbers. Look at this. Look at that. I mean, and in church world, it's no different. Hey, we're meeting budget. Great. Hey, look at how many we had show up at Bible school. Look at how much we did. We began to focus not on the place our eyes need to be focused. We began to focus on the wave itself. I think that's a problem. There's a second problem, I think, as well, is because then when we begin to look at the waves, then it turns our focus inside, and we begin to focus clearly upon ourselves. What did the disciples say to Jesus? "We are going to die. Save us. Woe is me." When we are dealing with the waves of life, we begin to become very inward focused, and our universe begins to revolve totally and only about me and what I've done. And especially this happens when the good times come and we're riding that wave high. Because then what do we say? "Look at how great I am. Look at how good I am. Look at what I have done." You see, I think the problem with waves is first it pulls our focus onto the wave and then it shifts the focus on to ourselves. And I think that is a problem. Because when we look at this story from Matthew, many times when people, preachers talk about this message, they want to talk about it from the perspective of the storms in your life and that God will calm the storms. Jesus can calm the storms. And you know what? It's a great message. Needs to be preached, and I believe it absolutely. But I think if we take the 30,000-foot view of what God is actually saying in this story, we'll see a greater message even beyond just how does this make my life easier. Because I think ultimately this story addresses the two fundamental problems of that when we're dealing with the storms of life or when we're riding high on the waves of life. Because the real point of this story is not that Jesus will calm the storms in your life. The real point of this story is, what kind of man is this? We are all faced with that question. We all have to deal with that question. What kind of man is this? And I believe that that is the point of this message. I firmly believe that how we answer that question changes everything about how we live. Because what we believe about Jesus has life-transforming implications, both here today for how I live every moment now, but has implications for eternity. You see, for some people, we want to look at Jesus and we want to say, "Oh, but he's a good man. He taught some interesting things. He had some good points in his message. He was a prophet. He spoke the truth," whatever. And we, you know, he fought back against the religious institution. But many times that's as far as we want to take it. But is that all that there is to Jesus? Yes, he did teach some pretty radical things for then and even for now. Yes, he showed radical compassion. He showed mercy and love to people that the society had cast out. But he also made some pretty outrageous claims that lead us to a place that we can't just say he's a good guy. We can't just get to a place and say, "Oh, I like what he had to say," because he made some pretty outrageous statements, especially when he said things like this: "I am the only way to life." In our culture, that's not a popular statement. We want to look at Jesus and we want to say, well, he's one way to life. Jesus said that's not true. Jesus himself said, I am the only way to life. And if you're trying to find life through one other way, you won't find it through me. That's a pretty radical claim. He also said that the broken relationship that exists between man and God, that relationship that sin broke in the Garden of Eden, that gulf that was established between us and God, Jesus said that I am the only way for reconciliation to occur. Which many times we look at and we think, oh, but I don't like that. Because in our human tendency, in our human nature, we want to look at it and we're going to, no, let me earn it, God. Let me work my way back to you. That makes me feel better. And Jesus says, you'll never do it. You can never earn it. You can never work hard enough. There's never enough good deeds that you personally can do to ever justify yourself before God. The price is too big. The debt is too large. And the great thing about this statement is that even though you can't do it on your own, Jesus Christ says you don't have to because I have already done it. When he offered himself on the cross, willingly laying his life down as a sacrifice, it was so that you and I could find forgiveness. That the penalty of our sin would be paid in full, and get this, and the righteousness of Christ would be moved from him and placed upon us. And what we, most of our lives, work so hard to make happen, Jesus says, stop it. Don't. I've already done it. The price has been paid. Paid in full. All you have to do is believe. Believe. Romans 5:8 tells us, but God demonstrates his own love for us and that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. My question for you this morning is, how do you answer this question? What kind of man is this? Is Jesus just a good guy to you, a good teacher and nothing more? Or do you know him as he claimed to be the way, the truth, and the life? Don't let whatever is happening in your life keep you from focusing on the wrong thing. That keep your focus away from answering this question. Are you in the midst of just garbage in your life and it's pulled your focus away and you need to spend some time thinking about this question this week? Is life great for you right now and you're feeling pretty proud and pretty good about life? Don't let the positive and the success in your life pull you away from really grappling with this important question. What kind of man is this? And I would encourage you, take time today. Take time this week. Talk to your kids. Talk to your spouse. Talk to a neighbor. Talk to somebody. What do you think about Jesus? What kind of man is he? You know, maybe you're sitting out there today and you've already been thinking about this question and you've begun to grapple with Jesus. And you feel God calling you to step out in faith today, to take that first step of faith towards Jesus. If you're in that position, let me encourage you, find me, find Pastor Ryan, Pastor Amy, somebody, whoever you came with, whoever invited you here, and have a conversation with them today. Take a moment and say, help me know more about Jesus. I believe it. Where do I go from here? We want you to know that we don't have to live a life afraid of the waves. We don't have to live a life focused on the waves or even focused on ourselves. That there's a bigger purpose that God is calling us to. That we can actually live in the incredible wave of God's amazing love. What kind of man is this?